Well, I don't like to go far or long away from the subject of prayer in our prayer meeting. And talking about the importance of prayer, tonight I want to say here's why it's important, because God is willing to answer prayer. You know, we could be like all the false religions that cry out and beat their breast and stab themselves with spears or whatever they do to try to call upon their God, and they don't hear anything. And you know why? Their gods don't exist. Our God does, and He's in control of everything, and He's willing to answer prayer. Christ told a story, a parable, in Luke 18, saying, there was in a city, Greek here is in a certain city, the King James margin tells us, in a certain city, he's trying to make it, you know, a precise story, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. What she's asking for is justice. My adversary is taking unfair advantage of me. And he would not for a while. Now, what made the difference? Well, afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Not the best of motives. He didn't care about anything except being troubled, you know. She was calling him on his cell phone and stuff, you know. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, his own chosen people, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? You see, the emphasis here is if an unjust judge would do this, how much more would God? Albert Barnes, in his commentary, said, first, a poor widow, by her perseverance only, obtained from an unjust man what otherwise she would not have obtained. Second, God is not unjust. He is good and disposed to do justice and to bestow mercy. If, therefore, this wicked man, by persevering prayer, was induced to do justice, how much more? That's the phrase I want you to catch. How much more shall God, who is good and who is not actuated by any such selfish and base principles, do justice to them who apply to him? So what was his illustration all about? It was an encouragement for us to pray. Why? Because you're going to find God willing to answer prayer. Christ's illustration says, if an unjust judge will help simply because he is pestered, how much more will God, who loves you and sacrificed his son for you, help you? See, the scripture explains that in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, this is the logic of it. You say, well, I don't want to bother him with these little things. If he was willing to give you his son, do you think he's going to say, oh, I don't want to give away my pennies? You know, that's silly. William R. Newell said, he that even spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. This is the God who is for us. And this is the proof. Barton Johnson's People's New Testament notes. He says this, if he gave his son to die for us, it is impossible that he should refuse us anything that will help or bless us. He has nothing he values more than his son. So, well, you can have my son, but you can't have my Wi-Fi thing, you know. I want you to examine your own heart. Remember how you felt when you gave a gift to someone who really loved it and appreciated it, some Christmas thing, some birthday gift. You knew what they wanted, you gave it to, and the expression on their face, the squeal perhaps in their voice, the stunned look, the tears, you know, these are things when, if that happens, you kind of go, yes, that was it, that was the thing, you know. And how did you feel? Well, the question is, if you could feel like that, how does God feel in giving you the desire of your heart? Look with me at Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Jesus is speaking again. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Here you go, son. Chew on this one, you know. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And the answer is no, you wouldn't do that. But he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? In the first story, he compared God to the unjust judge. And by this, he's showing the contrast. The unjust judge is bad, God is good. The unjust judge cares only about himself, God cares about us. Here, he compares our loving heart to our children to God. And he says, but you have to understand that you, like that unjust judge, you're evil. And God is not. John Broadus says this about that passage. Being evil means in contrast with the holy God. Doesn't mean you're a bank robber necessarily. Being evil here in contrast with the holy God. So he says, know how to give. This is the phrase. If you know how to give good gifts, does not simply mean are willing to give, but understand how to give judiciously and kindly so that the gifts are really good gifts. I mean, the best parent, the kindest parent, when the little boy says, I want to play with the butcher knife. He says, no, not going to happen, see. But it's shiny. Yeah, it's also sharp, see. So to give good gifts sometimes means you don't give. And we know that. The statement involves a disposition to give. And the term denotes judgment in giving. And in both respects, the argument from the less to the greater holds good. How much more will the Father on high, who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind, give what is really good? It is a natural extension of the same argument to say that if we ask for something which we think to be good, but which he knows to be evil, he will withhold it, even as any judicious human parent must often do. It is really a part of the privilege of prayer that God will withhold if he sees best. Were this not the case, the wisest and best persons might often be the slowest to ask, for they know how often their judgment as to what was best has proved erroneous. If we couldn't count on God to say no when it was wrong for us, the wisest here, he says, the wisest and best people would hesitate to pray. You know, there was a story told about the genie, and every time people ask, he gave the request for their wish in the worst possible way. I don't remember the whole story, but the one was the lady said, I want to have my good looks forever, and he turned her into a mannequin. Killed her on the spot, but there were the good looks, you know. And then Broadus ends by saying, but as it is, we may ask without apprehension for whatever we think is best, and our perfectly wise and perfectly kind Father will give that or something which he sees to be much better. So let me just emphasize Christ's words when he says, "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You have a heart for your children, and he has a heart for his. So as we go to prayer, let us not go with some hesitation that it won't happen, it won't do any good. Let us take our requests, bundle them up, say, "We don't know what's best, but we know you do. Here's what I ask. I lay it at your feet. Do as you will, for you always do what is best."